Verse 1, if you will, Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Amen. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, yes, and into his courts with praise. Amen. Be thankful unto him, right, and bless his name. Amen. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, yes, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. We believers ought to be the most thankful people in the world. Amen. We'll come to church and say, thank God I get to go to church today. Praise God I get to go to Sunday school. Hallelujah, I get to come back Sunday night. By the way, you better do that now while you can. May come a day you won't get to do that. And we'll be thankful. We'll say, thank God. We'll get up every morning and say, thank God I can still walk. Thank God I can still see. Thank God I'm still in my right mind. Thank God I still got a Savior that loves me. Thank God I got a little country church I can go to there once a week. Thank God I got a family that cares about me. We could go on all day. We ought to give thanks. Amen. And if you look at it in verse 4, that'll be my text today. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. And if you see the last part of that verse, be thankful unto him. Are you thankful today? Now, this is not my Thanksgiving sermon. That's coming. This is just leading up to it. This is really my sermon, but if I preached all of my Thanksgiving sermon, we'd be in here 4 hours, so I figured I'd spread it out. Amen. Because you look at a man knows he ought to be thankful. Amen. 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 The word thanks is found in one form or another in the King James Bible 140 times. 140 times that word, whether it's thanks or thankful or thanksgiving, is found 140 times in the King James Bible. David probably used it more than any other. And the Apostle Paul was the second most. David sang it, told it in times of betrayal, turmoil, even personal failure. David thanked the Lord. Even in his sin, he thanked the Lord. He thanked the Lord he was not consumed because of his sin. He thanked the Lord for those that attacked him. He thanked the Lord for everything. David thanked the Lord. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he sang it in prison. He told it in a tropical storm. He told about it while he was hanging on to the piece of the boat floating in a storm all night in the times of betrayal. He told it when they had contempt against him. When they put him in jail, he sang it. When he got to testify in front of the people that put him in jail, he thanked the Lord for jail. He thanked the Lord for the chains because it gave him the opportunity to share his thanksgiving. He thanked the Lord when he got the cold shoulder from the religious crowd when he went to Jerusalem after he was saved, seeking their approval. But he kept on thanking, praising God. The prophet Daniel, whose life was threatened. The prophet Daniel, who they threw in a den of lions. Not a lion's den. That doesn't mean there's anything in it. But a den of lions. It's full of lions. And slept on one that night, thanking God that God gave him a brown pillar to sleep on. Amen. Amen. Jonah, while he was being chastened of the Lord, said this, I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. He said that in the belly of the fish. At the bottom of the ocean, he prayed that thanksgiving prayer. In the fish's vomit. That's what's in your belly. And he sang it. Amen. And Jesus Christ himself gave thanks many times, especially at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Amen. When was the last time you went to your friend's or family's funeral and said, thank you, Lord? At the friend of his tomb, at the tomb of his friend, he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. Lazarus, come forth. Amen. He gave thanks at the feeding of the multitude with those two little fishes and five loaves of bread. God himself in the form, in the body of Jesus Christ, thank God the Father for the two little fishes and the five loaves of bread that fed 5,000. So the giving of thanks is taught all through the Word of God. It's demonstrated through the Word of God. So we as believers, if you're not a believer today, be patient. You might be one before you leave. Amen. But we as believers, we must learn to give thanks for all things. Amen. Now I know that's easy to stand up here well, or at least I hope I am. I hadn't got one of those tests yet. They might tell me I'm dead already. But that's easy to stand up here when you're well and you're in your right mind, you got some health and your family loves you and you got a church that loves you. But he said the will to thank God in all things, for all things. And so we as believers, we've got to learn how to give thanks. We as Americans are spoiled believers. I mean, if we don't get the way we want it, we don't thank anybody for it. We just grumble and complain. We're to let our request, he said, be made known unto God with what? With thanksgiving. When we make our request, when we pray to God and ask him for things, we're supposed to thank him ahead of time. And if it ain't for nothing except the opportunity to pray and the privilege to pray, we're supposed to thank God ahead of time. I'll go to the hospital sometimes, pray with people, and I say, Lord, I want to thank you that you're going to heal these people. You said you'd heal them. You said if they'd ask, they'd get it. And we ask, Lord, that you make that your will, that you heal these people. And I've seen a lot of people get healed. Hazel ain't here today, but I've seen her husband be proclaimed dying 5 times. And go over there and pray over him, and next day be up eating and wearing his hat. You ain't never seen that man without his hat. And now when he goes to hospital, the nurses call him the miracle man, because every time they pronounce him dead, he gets up and goes home 2 days later. We're supposed to thank God for all things. Amen? And we're supposed to thank God. That's supposed to be like a thermometer. Our thankfulness ought to be a thermometer to gauge our spiritual maturity. Had trick-or-treating last night. We didn't have many come by the house. And I don't beat the little kids up for Halloween. If you want to do that, that's your business. But I used to be one of those little ignorant kids. So I give them candy. And I don't worship the devil, and I don't decorate my house. But if you grew up where I did, you'd know to give candy, or they'd give you some eggs. Or maybe something worse. I've seen worse than that. Amen. I don't beat those little old kids up. Listen to me. Some of those kids, I guarantee, they came to people's houses and you started giving them one piece of candy and they said, I don't like that. I just shut the door. Amen. You ought to be thankful for anything you get. Amen. I taught my children that. They ought to be thankful for anything they get. Amen? Right. Boy, if we get something to eat at our house, you lay it on the table, they say, ew, I don't like that. Mama say, well, don't eat. Don't eat. Now they run around and say, let me see what else I can find you. I just say, don't eat. If you don't feed them for 3 or 4 days, they'll eat collard greens and like it. They won't even put vinegar on it. They'll just eat it. No salt and vinegar. Amen. They'll eat celery and like it. Amen. Amen. Some of y'all need to be more thankful. Look at you. You eating pretty well. How you know, preacher? How would I not know? You'll be thankful. What to be thankful? I'm trying to say what to be thankful for everything. In all things, for all things, that's how our Christian maturity is measured, by your thankfulness unto God. We enter His courts with praise and thanksgiving. Amen. We praise Him and thank Him for what He's done. And if you don't do that, you're a pretty sorry Christian. Well, preacher, I wouldn't say that. Well, that's because you're not up here and you're down there. Listen, you need a thankful heart.
Yes.
Look at Romans chapter 1. Let me show you what happens when you don't have a thankful heart. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. I'm going to go ahead and start reading, but you keep turning until you find it. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because that, comma, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Now, because of that, these next things happen. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Because they were not thankful. Listen now, this is what happens. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like a corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. In other words, these idols they make in place of God. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. He's talking about spiritual cleanness. Through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into the lie, a lie, and worshiped and served the creature, that's themselves, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now this is because of unthankfulness. For this cause, what? Unthankfulness. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. That's homosexuality. Why? Unthankfulness. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they didn't want to think about God. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. In other words, a mind that sees no wrong and no right. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affections, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. But wait a minute, how did this happen, preacher? How did our nation get in the mess it's in? How did these people get this place? It all started with verse 21. Because it, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Drugs did it, preacher. No, unthankfulness did it. That's what brought the drugs. Alcohol did it. No. Unthankfulness did it. That's what brought the alcohol. Homosexuality did it. No, that's what brought the homosexuality. Envy, murder, lust, greed, covetousness. That's what did it, preacher. No, unthankfulness did it. That's what brought those things. Those are products of unthankfulness. Our jails right now are full of people who were not misled. There's probably a few that were misled, but most of them were not misled people. They were not raised to be thankful. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, the loveliest flower that blooms in the garden of the heart is the flower of gratitude. And when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, he is well nigh gone. Feel that? It all started when they were not thankful. And then finally, when they refused to be thankful to the God that created them, it says God gave them up. That's sad. I mean, I love my children. I don't know that I could ever give them up. But God has to give up on some of His creation. A lot of sins that are being committed today are the result of the lack of gratitude in people's hearts. You remember when people used to say this, I don't live like that anymore, I don't do that anymore because I got my heart right with the Lord. You get your heart right, everything else fall in place and you'll be thankful.
Yes.
The worst thing to see is a disobedient, unthankful child. It'll destroy a parent. It'll wreck a home. It'll destroy a family. Just one disobedient, unthankful child. You better teach your children to be thankful for all things. We'll do things for my grandchildren. You know how children are. They don't know any better. They're lost human beings. They haven't been saved yet. And I'll give them something. They don't say nothing. I'll say, you better say thank you. And they'll say, well, thank you, Papa. I say, all good gifts come from the Father above. If He didn't give it to me, I couldn't give it to you. And I'm thankful. Amen.
Amen.
I thought about this. People are not thankful by nature.
That's right.
Look at Romans chapter 7. Don't sit here and get all pious and everything like you've always been thankful. You've always been polite. No, you wasn't. Romans chapter 7, the Apostle Paul speaking under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. In verse 15, he says, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it's no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law. A principle, a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, the saved person. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. In other words, he's saying this, in me is no good thing. And outside of Jesus Christ, I don't even know how to be thankful.
That's right.
In me is sin. I was born that way. I was born a sinner. You was born a sinner. And listen, that's your nature. You inherited it from Adam. Wherefore, by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. So then death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You have to teach your baby to be thankful. Beautiful that Rick brought his beautiful little grandchildren here today. And let me tell you something, Rick. If mama don't teach them, you'll ruin them. That's the truth. That's what she's about to go. Grandparents wasn't meant to raise children. Grandparents was meant to spoil children.
Amen.
Mom and dad supposed to whip them.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to whip my grandkids. I didn't want to whip my kids, but I did. I certainly ain't going to whip yours. But listen, in them is sin inherited from Adam. Right. And listen, if we don't teach them to be thankful, they'll never be thankful.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're not thankful, you'll do anything.
Right.
Because this thing here will drive you to do anything. And it's always promising to please you. And then when you get through with whatever it is it thinks going to please it, it wants some more. It's never satisfied. But in my heart, in my mind, I serve Jesus Christ. When this thing fails him, I say, thank God, this ain't the end of this. It's going to get renewed one day. People are not thankful by nature. Now listen, anything that you have to be taught is not your nature.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's not your nature. You know why you don't like to work? It's not your nature. Somebody teach you to go to work. Amen. Then you, and by the way, don't lie, you still don't like to work. You like the benefits of work. You like the money and the stuff that work produces. You don't like work. That's not your nature. But somebody had to teach you to work because the Bible says, man don't work, he'll not eat. And that sure would destroy a lot of welfare system, wouldn't it? But man don't work, he ought not eat. Listen, a duck swims. You don't have to teach a duck to swim. And a sinner does what? Sins. You don't have to teach a sinner. Well, they messed my boy up. No, your boy was already lost and going to hell. Well, they got my daughter in trouble. No, your daughter got in trouble because that's her nature, and that's why she was hanging around those other sinners. She's a sinner too. Amen? What you have to do is teach them not to do those things. And by nature, we are not thankful. By nature, we're ungrateful.
That's right.
James 1:17. The Presbyterian preacher is almost through, and I'm just getting started. James 1:17, look at it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. My goodness. Let me tell you something. The way you get a thankful heart, you have to realize that nothing good came from you. It all came from him.
Yes. Yes.
Well, preacher, I worked my way up and I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. Well, you do that, you're going to fall on your hind. He reached down there and pulled those bootstraps. You ain't going to stay up that way. Listen, I'm my own man. I made my, no, except by the grace of God, you'd be starving just like a lot of people. Well, I'm healthy. That's why I ain't sick. No, you're not sick by the grace of God. That's the reason you're not sick. A lot of, did you know healthy people die every day? All those bullies when I was big around that pole right there when I was young that practiced whooping up on me, all of them, they're all dead now. Every one of them's dead. They thought they was going to whoop me to death and I'm still here and they're all gone. It's just the grace of God I'm here though. So,
right. So
you got to get to that mind thought. You have to be thought that all good things come from the Father above. You can never be genuinely thankful until you realize everything you possess came from him. You know, you don't thank someone until you know that person is the one responsible for having what you have. A lot of you had good parents. You'll thank God. If they're still living, you'll thank them. But if they're gone on to heaven, you'll thank God that they were good to you and they raised you right. A lot of us didn't have that. You ought not rebel against them. But until you realize where it all came from, you're not going to be thankful. That's why our nation's in a mess today. Our government gives stuff away every day, all day long. And these people are not thankful because they think that they're entitled to it. No, you're not. And you'll be thankful when you got to work for it. You'll be thankful when you have to struggle and you get the prize. Amen. Psalm 103, it's Psalm 103, and I got to get back over there. But I want you to know, we ought to thank God in everything. And, y'all forgive me, I'm choked up in the sinuses, and I thank God I got sinuses to get choked. Psalm, you might not like it, but I sure do. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not his benefits. I don't know if it still works like this, but when I was young, I'd go place to place looking for jobs. One of the first things I wanted to know is, what benefits do you offer? I don't think they give me any benefits away anymore, but when I went to work in cotton mill, they gave me a week paid vacation that first year. They gave me health insurance. They gave me a beach to go to that I could pay $8 a night for a room. They gave me a mountain to go to that I didn't know nothing about. I found that out after I quit working there. That it was cheap up there. Look, if I needed a house, I could rent a house from them. And if I didn't have a store I could go to, there's a company store right down the street. I could go charge stuff if I wanted to. Now, that was the benefits. Well, thank God for the benefits that he gives us. We don't deserve anything except hell. I tell you, I grew up most of my childhood memories are from this old farmhouse. 10-foot ceilings, no insulation. By the way, in South Carolina, law didn't require insulation until 1976. That's right. That's why we were cold. That's why we hate cold still. But grew up in that farmhouse, no insulation. The wind would blow and the curtains would move. Y'all remember that? That's the way the windows were back then. And I remember when I got married and we bought a little old house in Rock Hill Homes. And I remember I found some old carpet on the side of the road and took it in there and somebody throwed it out. And I carpeted our house with used carpet. Yeah, I was working at the bleachery. We didn't have no money. And I remember walking on that brown carpet, and I didn't know how to straighten it. You know, I had bumps and everything else. But I remember walking on that carpet barefoot, and I thought I had arrived. I had a house with carpet on the floor, and my feet wasn't cold. Y'all remember that? You remember how you used to have to jump up in your room because there wasn't any heat in your room, and you have to jump up and scrape the frost off the window to look outside, and then you'd grab all your clothes, you'd run to the living room or wherever the one heater was, you'd all crowd around that heater and get dressed. You remember that? And now you got central heat. We ought to be shouting, running up and down the aisle, thanking God. We got air conditioning. You remember air conditioning? Used to be air conditioning was a box fan sitting in the window sucking the hot air out. And we all stayed on the front porch or out under the trees until it got dark enough. It was cool enough we'd go in the house. You remember that, Alex? You want to thank God for air conditioning. And you gripe and complain and grumble. It's too hot. It's too cold. The preacher's heat got it too hot in here. He's got too cold in here. You'll just say, thank God we got a unit. Got carpet on the floor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Got padded seat. Yeah. Woo! I'm not talking about the one you grew, but the one that was already here when you got here. Padded. Do you remember churches had no padded seat? In the back, it was torture to sit. Y'all remember that? Well, be thankful. Well, thank God. All the things we enjoy benefit from God. If you'd enjoy these things, you know what? You ought to be truly grateful for salvation that comes from heaven.
Amen.
Boy, some of you drove in a fancy car today. Cost $30,000 or $40,000. I ain't say everybody, some of you. The least new car is 20-something thousand. Our first house, 980 square feet, I think it was, or 890 square feet. We paid, I think it was 13,900 or 14,000 or something like that. $13,000, $14,000. And we couldn't make the payments on that sometimes. $150-something a month.
Yes.
And now we live in a house got empty rooms in it and hardly anybody goes into some of them. Got carpet and tile and central heat and central air. We're fixing to get a new kitchen in. I didn't know new kitchens cost that much. And I'm not even talking about the appliances. I'm just talking about cabinets. We was over at Home Depot, and my wife and this lady, you know, they're just figuring all this stuff up, you know, and they're looking at drawings, and they're doing drawings. I'm just sitting over there, you know, looking around, trying to keep that stinking mask off so I could breathe, and I'm just looking around, you know, and Terry said, "What you think about this?" And that lady points at my eyes, yeah, that's good. I'm just, man, look up there, that lawnmower, you know. And she said something about $2,000. I said, "Oh man, that's pretty steep." And I said, she said, "Well, that's not the whole price. That's just for that piece." And she showed me the total. I said, "Is that a new Mazda? Is that a new Chevrolet? I can buy a car for that." And you rode to church in a car today. By the way, my first cars, I pushed them, pumped them, primed them, cussed them. Not custom, but cussed them. Amen. Everybody had jumper cables. Did y'all have jumper cables in New York, brother? You didn't. He was rich. She was poor. Amen. And if it's straight drive, we get some people out and push on it to crank it. If it's automatic, we'd say, "Get on my bumper." And they'd get their car on your bumper. They had to get up to 35 for it to crank if it's automatic. And we'd get up to them going down the road. Right there. Woo! Finally. And now we jump in our car. We don't think about a battery. Don't think about the oil. Don't think about belts. We're just reaching there and turning that thing. And glory to God, why are we so unthankful? My salvation is from the Lord.
Amen.
He has twofold ownership over me.
Amen.
My salvation. Listen, he owns me by the right of creation.
Amen.
He created me. He created you. No, you can't do anything you want to. You can't dress any way you want to. You can't tattoo yourself up and put studs all over you and cut yourself and all that stuff. He has ownership over you. You belong to him.
Amen.
The dogs have that much sense. The cats have that much sense. The birds in the sky have that much sense. Man is the only one that's unthankful for the ownership of the Creator, that God is our Creator. Then he has the right of redemption. He redeemed me. I was lost. I was his creation, but I was lost in sin. And God paid my sin debt. Jesus paid my sin debt on Calvary's cross, and I surrendered that my body to him, and he bought me by the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns me. He says your body is no longer your own, but it's the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And he moved in me that day, and the Holy Spirit of God lives in me. And listen, he talks to me, and he walks with me, and he speaks to me. And by the way, I'm preaching the next few Sunday nights on that subject. But he's in me. God moved in me.
Amen.
Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him." March 5th, 1978, I said, "Yes, Lord, save me." And he came in. I've never been the same. I was born again. The Spirit of God lives in me. Now, this is his creation, but this is his recreation on the inside. I've been born again by the blood of Jesus. Now, God owns my body, but he also owns my soul and my spirit too. And I'm thankful for it, because you know what? I made a mess of it.
Yeah.
I messed it up. I'm 66. I know I look 56, but I'm 66. But if I was back at 26 without Jesus, I'd probably mess it up worse. I would. I'd have messed it up worse. I might have been one of those that was overdosed or stabbed or shot or had a car wreck and died, or a motorcycle wreck and died. Except by the grace of God, I'm here. And if I hadn't have turned in my body over to Him that day, I'd have just made a bigger mess because I was not thankful.
Amen.
Every day I get up and I'm thankful. And until they got rid of our newspapers, y'all don't get a newspaper anymore, do you? We don't get, don't you hate that? I hate that. But the one we got now ain't nothing but a communist paper anyway, so ain't no need to get it. But I remember every day I had this tradition. I'd get up and I'd get my breakfast and get everything done, you know, right there. And I'd walk out to the mailbox and I'd stop and I'd look around and say, thank God I can still see. I still do this, but it ain't in like that anymore. But I look up and I say, God, thank God I can see. Amen, Brother Ed.
That's
right. What'd be more thankful? Ed's losing his sight. There's some other folks in our church losing their sight. What'd be more thankful? Thank God I can just see. I can see those clouds. I can see those stars.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk a little bit farther. I say, thank God I can still breathe. Edward Mitchum laying over there in the bed right now, probably watching. He watches faithfully. Brother Ron watches faithfully. That COPD, it's gradually robbing their breath. And every breath is the answer to prayer. And I ought to be thankful I can breathe. Amen?
Amen.
I smoked about 12, 13 years, 2 packs a day. And listen, worked in the cotton mill, all that dust, worked in the printing and finishing companies, all those dyes and chemicals, put in insulation in houses for a while, all that stuff in my lungs. And thank God, I go to the doctor and I said, Ron, you got good lungs. You got good lungs. I said, thank God I can still breathe. Thank God I can still walk. My feet hurt. I got some kind of, and I can't pronounce it. Maybe you can help me. Plantaritis or something. I don't know. But my feet hurt, and they hurt real bad. But I say, thank God I can still walk.
Amen.
Thank God I can walk. Now, I can't run far, but I can still run, you know. Thank God I can still walk. I still got feet. I still got eyes. And I hear those birds sing. I say, thank God I can still hear. Praise God I'm here. I don't have a hearing aid. And it's just wonderful. Now, I get my paper, and I walk back toward the house. I say, thank God I got a house.
Yes.
Look at that house, God. You give me that house. My family and them. Mama rented a house for $10 a week. And Mama never had nothing like that. Thank God I got a house. And my brothers and sisters never had a house like that. It ain't the biggest house. It ain't the most expensive. But it's my house.
Amen.
And then I thank God. There's my wife over at my house. Thank God she put up with this sorry rascal this long. Amen. You ladies can say amen right there too. Amen. Thank God she loved me. Thank God I got some children that still love me. They love me. And when others walk out on you, they'll still love you. And thank God for these things.
Amen.
Then I come down here at church and I say, thank God for my little church. Thank God for my little church. I ain't even worthy to be preaching anywhere. Thank God for my little church. Thank God for people that come down here and they love their church and they serve their church and they try to serve the Lord through their church and they're faithful to their church. And a lot of them say, I love the preacher, you know. Some of them don't say that, but most of them say, I love my preacher. Thank you. And they'll send me cards and it's just God's been so good to me. Thank God I'm alive.
Amen.
But most of all, thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
March 5th, 1978, Jesus, and you can't do, y'all not going to see me for a minute. The Holy Ghost of God came down while that preacher was preaching. Preacher Farnberry was preaching. And the Holy Ghost of God came down out of that pulpit and he walked over here up this aisle right here and he went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and he stopped at the 6th pew and he put his finger on my heart. He put his finger on my heart and said, I want to save you. You don't have to go to hell. And that day, I said, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll go down there and I'll do whatever I got to do. And I found myself walking down the aisle and the Holy Ghost of God was helping me down there. And thank God that day he saved me. I'm going to live as long as God lives. I'll never die. I have eternal life. Thank God. Hallelujah. We'll be jumping pews. An old devil come around sometime. He'll say, well, you ain't much of a Christian. I say, yeah, devil, you're right. I ain't. I wish I was better. He said, you ain't a good preacher. I said, I know it, devil. I'm not a good preacher, but I want to be better. He'll say, well, don't nobody care nothing about you. I say, well, you're wrong. Jesus does.
Amen.
Well, to be thankful. My salvation's from the Lord. He created me. He owns me. When I surrender and I'm thankful, He controls me. And when I think about where God brought me from and where He put me, I just marvel. And sometimes it just seems like a dream. I ought to be in hell. I ought to be burning. And most of the people I knew are. But thank God where He put me. And it's like a dream. And sometimes I just think we're going to wake up. It's just a good dream. I don't ever want to get to the place where I don't have real gratitude. I don't. I grew up in a hard family. We wasn't real thankful. We didn't say it. We didn't say, I love you. We didn't say, I thank you, or nothing like that. But I thank God He put that in my heart. I don't ever want to be ungrateful. I want to be thankful to God. I want to be thankful to people. You just don't know. I know I'm gone over time, but I'm going to read you another verse anyway. Ephesians 5:20. In verse 20 it says this, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, wait a minute. We can't be thankful for all things. We can. We can. If all things work together for the good of them that love God, to them that's called according to His purpose, we can be thankful in all things. You say, preacher, what if I lose my sight? You're still alive.
Yep.
And by the way, maybe if some of us lost our sight, we wouldn't have our eyes on things that distract us so much.
Right.
Fanny Crosby, a blind woman, wrote so many hymns, it was illegal to write them in her own name anymore. She had about three or four different names she wrote hymns under. She was blind. She never saw a sunrise. She never saw a sunset. Maybe sometimes bad things happen to good people for a good reason. Let me ask yourself, have you ever recognized that anything that you come to you came from someone or somewhere else? You ever thought about that? You didn't grow that car.
Right.
Amen. You weren't like Johnny Cash working in that car place and stealing parts one piece at a time, built your car. The basis of giving thanks and being thankful is to recognize that, see? Who do you think? There's a lot of people you ought to thank. Now, this ain't my Thanksgiving sermon. Just hang on. It's going to get harder. Listen, do you thank your mother, your father? You know, I grew up without a father. Never met him. And I used to feel real bad about that. Until after I got saved and I began to live for Christ, I thought, and some people say any father is better than no father. That's not true. I might have been better. I might ought to be thankful I didn't know him. Come on. You ought to be thankful for your boss, your job. That's right. If he says all things, give thanks. You ought to be thankful for your pastor, your church, your Sunday school teacher. But most of all, listen, you ought to be thankful to the God in heaven who gave it all. He gave you life, your breath, everything about you. He gave it to you, your food, your clothing, your house, everything. He gave it to you.
Amen.
But most importantly, you'll be thanking God for His dear Son. Galatians 4:4, listen to this, and I'm through. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that's what we're under, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. When I was little, they called us white trash. Out loud, that's what they called us, white trash. But let me tell you something. I've been adopted. I've been adopted by the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and my Father owns the universe. You go and call me whatever you want to, but when He comes, you can just call me gone because I'm going home to be with my daddy. Amen. I'm going to say this. Maybe I shouldn't. I'm going to say it. I seen on Facebook some people that's making fun of other classes of people. You know, they'll dress up like them and make fun of them. You ought not do that. You ought to be thankful God puts you in where you're at,
yeah,
and ask God to help them,
amen,
instead of making fun of them. Why don't we just show a little gratitude for Him letting us receive Him? Why can Christians not just live a grateful life and by the way we live show that we're thankful for what He's given us? Why can't we do that? Instead of coveting what everybody else has got. Why can't we just go over there and boy, you got a friend, they got a 10 bedroom mansion and 5 bathrooms and you got 1 bathroom and 3 bedrooms. And you go over there and see him, you say, well, I hope you thank God for all this because I thank him for mine.
Amen.
You got an old run down Mazda pickup truck with 325,000 miles on it. And you go over and see your friend who's bought one of them big new Chevrolet Monster. I don't call them trucks anymore. I call them crubs. They got 4 seats in them. That's a car. And then they got a bed just long enough to put a dead dog or something. It really ain't a truck. It's a crub. And they got big wheels on, you know, and it'll never leave the road. It don't matter if it's four wheel or not. That thing will never leave. I'll take mine out across the field. I ain't worried about it. But you know what? I can go over and see his. He can get bragging on. I said, well, you don't thank God for that. I thank God for mine.
Amen.
Amen. And then in our salvation, we'll thank God by doing the same thing, by saying it. The Bible says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus and confess with thy mouth that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
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 And he said, for with the heart salvation, and I done forgot my verse now, I'm trying to quote it, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The more you say it, the more you'll believe.
That's right.
The reason a lot of Christians have so little faith in their salvation is because they never thank God for their salvation. Do you know how unusual it is to hear a Christian in public now say thank God for anything? It's unusual. Do you know how unusual it is in public now to hear Christians say anything about Jesus Christ? It's unusual. I mean, even amongst preachers, I go to the hospital and I try to look like a preacher, behave like a preacher, and talk like a preacher, and they look at me like I'm a giraffe. Where'd this guy come from? Who does he think he is? I mean, I just command them. I say, man, I got to go in there and pray with you. These are my people. I'm going in there. You know. When are you going in there? Tell us later. You ain't getting it? No, sir.
Oh, I got more chance.
Oh, amen. Well, we're going to pray they come out where you don't have to get it. Let's go ahead and thank Him for it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let me tell you something. We want to thank God everywhere we go. Somebody says, they check you out. They used to say thank you for doing business with them. They don't do that no more, do they? When they do, when people I go to the grocery store or something, you know, and buy something, before I leave, I say thank you. And they look at me like, why do you thank me? You're the one that bought me. But I say thank you. And that's so unusual. And think what it would be like if we would just go places and say, I just want to thank the Lord for saving me. I just want to thank God I'm alive today. Ungratefulness, unthankfulness will lead you into deeper sins than you ever thought you'd be. Unthankfulness will destroy you. And if you don't care enough to thank the Lord for saving you and dying in your place by asking Him to save you, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell. You got to ask Him to save you. And every time I pray with somebody, and I just did it recently, every time I pray with somebody to be saved, you know what I do at the end? I said, now pray this. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Thank you that you're going to keep me and present me faultless one day.
Thank you, Lord.
And if you don't care enough about your salvation, thank the Lord for it. I doubt you have it.
That's right.
And if you do have it and you don't thank him for it, you can't lose it, but I guarantee he can sure whip you.
Oh, yeah.
You'll be eating collard greens all day, every day. Are you thankful? Yeah. Thanksgiving's coming up. And it's been attacked by everything political.
Yeah.
But I'm going to have Thanksgiving in my house this year.
Amen.
And I like turkey. My mom didn't like turkey. She always cooked a big hen. But we're going to have turkey. We're going to have a Thanksgiving meal. We're going to try to eat with family. We're going to try and do that. And if they pass a law against that, I'll just be thankful and have Thanksgiving.
Have Thanksgiving right.
Have Thanksgiving right. Amen. That's my wife. You know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to be thankful that the church is here. I'm going to be here every time I can get in the door. I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
I'm going to be thankful. I got people here that love me, and I'm going to pray for them and ask them to pray for me.
Yeah.
Are you really thankful? I want you to think about that this week as we lead up to Thanksgiving. Think about this. Are we really thankful? And if we are not, remember where it leads in Romans chapter 1. All those people started with unthankfulness. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.